Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, gracious God, thank you for your word. Thank you for filling our hearts with the fear of the Lord and delivering us from the bondage and slavery of our sin through Jesus Christ, your Son. He has set the captives free. He has burst open the bars of the prison, and he has given us life. Let us then, with that new life of Christ and his Spirit, fear you and seek your praises above all other things. Bless us in Christ to be able to walk with you in the light. We pray, bless this word to us, instruct us, encourage us, and lead us in a God-pleasing life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn together tonight to Psalm 112. There's a string of psalms here, 111, 112, 113, that begin with praise the Lord. In Hebrew, that's hallelujah, a word that we're very familiar with. And there's another set of so-called hallel or hallelujah psalms. But these three are isolated from that larger group and planted here in this particular book of the Psalms, but set especially with respect to fearing God. And we're going to hear that in this psalm tonight. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandments. His offspring will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Light dawns in the darkness for the upright. He is gracious, merciful, and righteous. It is well with the man who deals generously and lends, who conducts his affairs with justice. For the righteous will never be moved. He will be remembered forever. He is not afraid of bad news. His heart is firm, trusting in the Lord. His heart is steady. He will not be afraid until he looks in triumph on his adversaries. He has distributed freely. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn is exalted in honor. The wicked man sees it and is angry. He gnashes his teeth and melts away. The desire of the wicked will perish. And so far, the reading of God's holy word. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, as Christians, our greatest desire is that God would be praised. And not only in our singing, but also in the ways in which we live our lives, that the things that we would do and the things that we would say would be praiseworthy and would exalt the name of God. We want people to know, just by the way that we live and the way that we talk, we want people to know that God is awesome and he's great and he's majestic and he's holy and he's so much greater than all the things of this world because he made all things. And he alone is worthy to be so exalted and for all people to bow the knee. And we know that in the times and the consummation of all things, when Christ comes again, everyone will bow the knee. And finally, then everyone will recognize how great and how awesome our God is. For us as Christians, it'll be a day of great rejoicing. And we'll be in awe of God's wonderful majesty. And for unbelievers on that day, they will simply be shivering and shaking in terror at the awesome terror of God. Because he's so holy and because he's so awesome and filled with majesty. But because we have that desire, we want God to be praised. Because we are Christians, we want then to be about this psalm. We want to be about the fear of the Lord. We want to be people who delight in God's commandments. We want to be people who shine forth the fruit of the gospel. Because the greatest blessing that we have in this psalm, right at the beginning, it says that, the second line. So praise the Lord, that's the goal of our lives, that God be praised. What do we receive? Blessing. We are blessed. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord. But what's the first blessing? The first blessing is that we fear the Lord. Because it's not natural for us to fear God. It's not natural for us to worship a God who is holy and awesome. It's not natural for us to want to bend our will to do His will. That's not natural in any of us. What's natural in us is to praise ourselves or to do things our own way or to want to do our own will. So that we fear God already is the beginning of all of these blessings. And that comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. How is it that you and me fear God? Because Jesus has come and He has done everything in this psalm. He is the fulfillment of Psalm 112. He is the one, the first one, the only one, who has feared the Lord perfectly and who has greatly delighted in God's commandments perfectly. And all of us have become spiritually Christ's offspring, and we're mighty in the land because Jesus is our Savior and our Redeemer. Wealth and riches belong to Him. His righteousness endures forever. He is the light that dawns in the darkness. He's the righteous that will never be moved, and He will be remembered forever. And you can go line by line all the way through. And Christ is the one who has triumphed over our enemies and over His. And it's through that saving work we have been delivered from the bondage of doing our own wills. We've been delivered from the bondage of this world, the slavery to this world. We have been delivered from the bondage of our feelings and our wants. And we've been filled instead with the fear of the Lord. A tremendous gift. Well, what are we supposed to do with this great gift, this fear of the Lord? Well, the fear of the Lord is actually several things. But the psalmist here, to get to the point, boils it down to just one thing. What does it mean to fear God, boys and girls? Very simply, delight in God's commandments. Delight in them. Okay, think about your favorite dessert, boys and girls. What's your favorite dessert? And you delight in it. Delight is actually a word that gets used in several desserts in the names of these things. If you're offered a bite of that dessert, your favorite dessert, you'd do anything for it. What would you do for a Klondike bar, right? That's the thing. That's the slogan. What would you do? I'm not going to sing it. You'd do anything. Oh, just a bite. Okay. We need to think about God's commandments that way. What would you do to obey God's commandments? Would it be your great desire? Here is an opportunity for you to obey God. And when you're filled with the fear of the Lord, you say, yes, I want to obey. I want to obey God. I want to bring honor to His name. I want to please God. Because I want my life to be a life that pleases God, that brings Him honor, that doesn't bring any shame and dishonor to His name, but really praises His name. That's what I want my life to be. Boys and girls, that's what your parents pray for you. In one way or another, that's what they're praying for. They want you to have a life, to live a life, to live in such a way that you bring praise to God. If you would ask them, what's one thing I could do, Mom and Dad, that would bring you so much joy? Roundabout, however they phrase it, this is, I want you to live for God. That's what I want for you. That's what your parents want for you. That's what your grandparents want for you. That's what your teachers want for you. It's what the elders want for you. That's what I want for you as your pastor. I want you to live for God, to delight in His commandments. When we get the law of God, we should see it as something that's a wonderful freedom, a glorious freedom for us to be able to live according to God's commandments. But because we're sinful, you know what we do? We go on one of two sides usually. The one side is legalism, where we just start adding on to. Because we think we're just going to live by rules. And the rules are going to keep us safe. And if we can keep the rules, then we can keep ourselves close to God. That's the side of legalism. You don't want to fall on that side. The other side is says, I don't need the law. I'm saved by grace. I can do whatever I want to. God is just going to save me in the end anyway. So the rules don't matter. And we don't want to fall off that way either. We got to live through the straight and narrow, but realize that that is where we are safe. It's like driving through a construction zone on the highway, and maybe your family, like our family, saw several of those this summer. You see them every summer. And you're driving in between those pylons, and some of the lanes get really narrow as you're driving through those construction zones. But on the one side, this happens a lot too, you're like, where's the construction crew? I don't see them anywhere. This whole side looks like there's nobody there. And there's four cars ahead of us, and they're going really slow. Wouldn't it be great if we could just jump across the pylons and drive past all of them? Right? But that's the side that says, I don't need the law. I don't need the pylons. I can just live as I... That looks like an open road right there. Look at... I could go 70. I could get ahead of all this stuff. We'd get there faster. Yeah, until you get to the bridge, and there's no bridge, because that's actually what they're working on. And now you're in big trouble. But you also don't want to fall off on the other side, because the shoulder is gone, because that's also what they're working on, and there's no safety there either. The safe place for you to stay where you are in your lane. Delighting in God's commandments says, God's law is safe, it's free, it's the way to live. And that's what fear of the Lord is boiled down to here, delighting in God's commandments. We're going to consider three things about this. The riches of fearing God, first of all. As we go through these verses, there are several riches or blessings that belong to those who fear the Lord. First of all, in verse 2, the offspring will be mighty in the land. The fear of the Lord fixes future generations who are dependent upon God and growing in His might. We might not be great people in the world. Most of us are not. And most of us will never be remembered as great people in the world. But that's not what we're called to be either. Instead, how about this? What a great thing for you to walk in the footsteps of your parents and grandparents in the fear of the Lord. Because that's what they've been praying for you. That's the kind of example that they've been trying to lay before you, young people, boys and girls. It's for all of us. You think about those future generations that went before you. That's what they've wanted. Even as we ask in the questions and profession of faith. The articles of the Christian faith and the doctrine that is taught in this Christian church. Why is that important? Because that's something that's generational. It doesn't depend upon the generations, but it comes through the generations. And that's something that we want to see. And if I can just camp on this point for just a brief moment on this, I want to say to the young people here too, I hope you aren't the last generation. There are a lot of concerns about your particular generation, and for good reason, not because of you personally, but in thinking about your generation as a whole. A lot of the people your age are leaving the church. They are walking away. They are being taught from the world. They're being taught in schools. They're being taught through friends and media that you need to completely question every tradition that has ever been handed down. And all of these things that are old are bad. And what you need is a whole fresh look on things. I want to strongly encourage you to be very, very, very careful. You can examine these things for yourself. The Word of God is open to you. Examine it. The confessions are open to you. Examine. Talk to your parents and your grandparents about these things. Or to boil it down maybe even more simply, stay in the church, please. This is where you belong. This is where you are wanted. This is where you have a home and a place and where the Lord has promised to send His blessings upon you. Don't forsake the church. Don't forsake the doctrine that's been passed down through the ages and through the generations. Don't forsake the prayers of your parents and your grandparents. These things are given to you because you are loved. May you be an offspring that is mighty in the land. May you be another generation of the upright that is called blessed. Wealth and riches are also part of the blessings that belong to fearing God. Sometimes this happens in terms of money and possessions and a good job. But that's not all that the psalmist means here. When we fear God, as one Puritan put it, when we fear God, we fear nothing else. When you fear God and you fear nothing else, you work for God and you do your work for God's glory. Well, then you do it with integrity and you do it with honesty and you're on time and you work hard with the gifts that God has given to you. That is going to be rewarded. It's a wonderful way for you to stand out as people of God. Why do you work so hard when everybody else just sort of slacks off in the last 10 minutes of the shift? Because I'm not just working for a paycheck. I'm working for the Lord. done. It's finished. Your salvation is secure. You're right with God. You have received grace and mercy and righteousness. Now deal accordingly with others. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your enemies. Do good to everyone, even to those who hate you. Have compassion on the needy, the brokenhearted, the hurting, the struggling, the fearful, the weak. And do all of these things willingly, delighting in God's commandments. Be generous in verse 9. He has distributed freely, he has given to the poor. Wealth and riches have been given to this person who fears the Lord. And what has he done with them? Distributed them freely and given to the poor. Because they're in need, because they're the ones who need the help. Again, wealth and riches might be money and possession, so give and give to the needy. It's one of the responsibilities that we have as Christians. But wealth and riches are also spiritual gifts, as I said earlier, so be hospitable, encourage others, let your words bless and build up other Christians. Open your heart to their hurts. Give a listening ear. Take all that you have learned from the Word of God and use it to give advice to somebody else who doesn't have that knowledge and who is struggling or is hurting or has questions or is uncertain about things. And you have been given a certainty. Share your certainty with another Christian who is lacking assurance and is filled with so many questions. Be generous in that way with your time and with your gifts. And then lastly, a reaction to fearing God. Verse 10, the wicked man sees it and is angry. He gnashes his teeth and melts away. The desire of the wicked will perish. If you fear God, you must expect a reaction from the wicked. You must expect Satan to attack you. And I say this to all of my profession of faith students, and I think I said it from the pulpit too. When you make public profession of faith, now that you have made public profession of faith, Satan is not going to let you alone now. He's going to go after you harder. He's going to go after you with more concentration. And not because you weren't a child of God before. No, you've always been a child of God by virtue of the covenant. It's not because you haven't been a member of the church before. You've been a member of the church before as well. But here's now the difference. You have said publicly before the church, in the presence of God, and before the world, I believe. My hope is in Christ alone. My hope is not in the world. My hope is not in the devil and his schemes. My hope is not in myself. I abhor and humble myself before God. I depend upon His grace. I am not anchored to this world and to this life. Christ is my anchor of hope. You've said these things now. And that targets you, marks you as a threat to the kingdom of darkness. Because you're saying, I don't want to walk in darkness. I've been delivered from the darkness. I want nothing to do with the darkness. I walk in the light. And that light that shines through every one of God's people is a threat to the kingdom of darkness. That truth, that wisdom, that commitment to the Word of God is a threat to the kingdom of darkness. And Satan is not going to let that go easy. As we talked about this morning, being watchful, being careful, be on guard. The wicked are going to gnash their teeth in their anger, in their envy. Because the world sees what you have. And don't think that they don't see it. They see it. They see what you have. They see the peace you have. They see the confidence you have. They see that certainty that you have for eternal life. And they see the blessings that God bestows upon you. And they hate you for it. Because they don't have it. And they can't have it. Because you can't have these things apart from Christ. They don't have it. And every time you delight in God's law, and every time the church proclaims the good law of God, and every time we bear a good witness in the world and the wicked and the devil, they gnash their teeth, they grind their teeth in envy because it exposes their unrighteousness and they're filled with shame. and they know what they are, and they hate it, and they don't want to deal with it, and they want to simply suppress it. They want nothing to do with bowing to Christ. And every time you live for the Lord, every time you confess His name and praise Him, it stings the world. It pokes a finger at them once again, and they see their unrighteousness, and it galls them. They see it, and they're angry. They gnash their teeth. But then they're disappointed. The desire of the wicked will perish. Because you know what else they hope for? Your destruction. They hope, in the end, that maybe they're right and we're wrong. And this is all just going to end badly for all of us. And they are going to be utterly disappointed. This ends so well for us by God's grace, and so terribly for unbelievers. God will keep His people in Christ. No one's name will be blotted out of the book of life. We will never be forsaken. We will never be forgotten. God does not slumber. He does not sleep. And very much like Balaam, the wicked will be undone. "Did I not tell you," says Balaam to Balak, "all that the Lord says, that I must do?" You see, even the wicked are just instruments in the hands of God for our good. So don't be fooled by the tricks of the devil or the world. Don't be deceived by the trinkets that the world offers. Don't be deceived when the world tries to tell you it has more to give you than Almighty God. And don't deceive yourself into thinking that sinning is the way to get all the things that you really want. Fear the Lord and delight in His commandments. That's the way to live. That's the way of blessing. That's the way of peace. That's the way that Jesus Christ lived in His perfect righteousness, fearing God and delighting His commandments. And that's the way for us to follow Jesus Christ. Amen.